At 6:06, Kelly here. The 30th of September. Man, we're hard on the heels of October. I guess you know that if you go into the store and see 10 miles of Halloween stuff. Got a massive storm coming into the East Coast. Now, most of these storms that I've seen go up along through the Caribbean, they hit to Florida. They go left or they right. It's not as usual to see a storm come up and kind of dogleg left off the Atlantic and then take a hard left into the Carolinas and Virginias. But that's what this storm looks like it's going to do. And I'm telling you, it's a big storm, and they're talking about a lot of wind. It's now a hurricane, and it is a big storm. And there's a body of water in the water. I'm trying to remember what it's called, but it goes up. And it hits about Virginia and takes a right. So usually these storms track that warmer body of internal water, but it looks like it's going to do the opposite here. I'm trying to bring up a little weather channel on this. So anyway, got Kieran Ryan coming on. In about an hour, he's going to be coming in for election. He's a good friend of mine. Looks like my internet might be a little bit slow today, but hope you're doing well. Are you ready for fall? Because although it's still pretty warm out there, it's still in the mid-90s. We do have, obviously a change of season right around the corner. Now, Donald Trump met with some religious leaders and got together and prayed with them, believe it or not. You may not think of Trump as much of a religious person, but I assume that if he's praying, it's sincere. He seems like a sincere person. According to a lot of people, sincerely wrong, but I think that he's got, I thought it was pretty honest of him. He said he doesn't ask for forgiveness. So he may not have a doctrinaire understanding of Christianity, but on the other hand, I will guarantee you his Christianity is probably a little bit more relevant than the president's, who doesn't seem to have any Christianity. I've got total stoppage here on my info chart, but let me trying to get you a little bit on this storm. Every single model that I see of this storm, every single model except maybe for two. And there are so many models that are put out on these things. Almost every single model is painting a devastating track on this thing. So the real thing, and you might know this if you've been around storms, if you've lived in Florida like I have, if you've been through hurricane seasons, the real danger is the surge. I mean, the wind is a big deal and the rain and everything. But the storm surge, you got to see a hurricane is like a vacuum. It spins around and it sucks. It ends up with that eye of the hurricane and the spinning motion. It ends up sucking air out of this storm. And so it raises the sea level up. It's like a vacuum. And then it just kind of carries this vacuumed up water on shore. And it is really devastating. And let's take a little break here, and I'll have some clips of this when we come back. 611 Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450 KOBE, 523-1450. How you doing today?
Not too bad.
All right, so I'm looking at this storm track here, and it does end up bringing down a lot of rain. And, I mean, I'm looking at some of the rain that's already come down since September 24th. We're talking Mobile, Alabama, 7.79, Valparaiso, 12.8, Jacksonville Beach, 3.6. These are inches. Woolwine, which is a little tiny hamlet in Virginia, almost 12 inches. Cape Hatteras, almost 11 inches. Beaufort, South Carolina, which is a military town, 13.34. We're talking about a lot of rain that's already come down. And rainfall forecasts from South Carolina up to Philadelphia are anywhere... Well, they're realistically anywhere from 3 to 5 inches up to 12 to 18 inches. So it's going to be a massive storm. And I'm hoping they don't get too much of the brunt of this seawall or this water that I was telling you about. You've got to see when the hurricanes vacuum up this wall of water, it is just absolutely and just incredible. And here we go.
Drenching rain in South Florida. Look at the streets of Miami. You could barely make them out. And it wasn't just Miami that saw flooding rain. We also had it in Fort Lauderdale. That's South Florida. The entire Southeast, though, is looking at a very wet next couple of days because of this system coming through. Plenty of moisture coming up from the Gulf of Mexico. It is going to saturate the area with heavy rain as we go through the next few days. Check it out. For the afternoon, we're looking at scattered showers and thunderstorms, even into Raleigh and Atlanta, as well as parts of the Carolinas towards the end of the week. So how does it all tally up by the time we get to Thursday? We are looking at several inches of rain. In fact, parts of North Carolina could see 3 inches plus from the Triangle area towards the Outer Banks. Lighter rain amounts for Georgia and Alabama.
So this is going to be, you know, you just don't see a lot of hurricanes hitting up there. Just doesn't happen that often, so it's kind of a fascinating situation. And got another little clip here for you if it will cooperate. Right now 66 degrees up here. Now that was, by the way, that was last night yesterday that particular prediction was coming along, and now I've got an update. Hurricane Joaquim.
All right, new advisories have been issued. I want to say these watches have been turned into warnings in the central Bahamas. The northwestern Bahamas are now under hurricane watches. And again, we'll get those graphics as quickly as possible. Steph, this is the updated cone. It has been shifted a little bit to the east, but you know, I just want to know, we got some time before we need to worry about exactly where it's going to go. As you said, we've got a trough along the East Coast.
This video is sponsored by Travelers Insurance. So, no matter the weather, we can help you stay prepared.
When you've got these hurricanes, to live through a hurricane...
October 2012 brought us...
You guys have seen tropical weather come through here, but there's something that's kind of very amazing about being in a hurricane, because there are bands of rain that come down, and then the air has an extremely heavy feel. The animals seem like they're moving around differently and stuff. So it's a totally different beast than pretty much anything you've ever experienced, unless you've been in one. So anyway, just an FYI. And right now I'm looking at the latest model, and the model says that it's going, and it's to the right of the Caribbean. And it looks like it's gonna make landfall between North Carolina and Virginia, right exactly where these things usually veer off. So pretty amazing. All right, so I'm just trying to see if there's any other clips that you might find interesting on this thing. So it's going to affect, obviously, a good 100 million people in the United States between Florida, and it already is in Florida and obviously all the way up to New York if it's running into Philadelphia. See if I can get you one more clip here, but pretty astounding stuff if you've been through one. Oh, and there's a clip there of some heavy rains that had already come in. Orange things, and those things are pumpkins.
Hey, what's up? I'm your host, Gia Peppers, and today at the Sprite Corner, we have legendary filmmaker and producer.
Or maybe many pumpkin patches, but dislodged a bunch of pumpkins, and now they're just floating down the river. All right, so that is, I think, probably the biggest news that's going on right now. And we, like I was telling you, you've got Donald Trump getting together with religious leaders and praying with them. Steve Bezos, who owns Amazon.com, $16 billion in 1 year. Got to admit, I've ordered thousands of books off of Amazon, with all due respect to COAS. I've gotten some good books out of COAS, but... there is Rand Paul claiming that Ted Cruz is pretty much done for the Senate because he called somebody a liar. I think Rand Paul's campaign is going through the death throes. If you thought that Rand Paul was going to come in and sweep the field, he might have. If it wasn't for Trump, he might have been the oddball or the outlier, the libertarian. But I think there's a couple of things that are affecting Rand Paul. Number one, Trump took him out at the knees. Number two, I don't think that Rand Paul has figured out how to connect libertarianism into the GOP. You know, people hear him say stuff like, I don't want to get into wars, that type of thing, and they find that attractive. But at the same time, they are a little bit nervous as to the idea that are we really going to stop getting involved in internationally? We're the one international heavy hitter. Are we really going to walk away from that? And then, he turns around and says, I would go after ISIS or whatever. So people are confused about Rand Paul. I think that libertarianism has an element to it that some people believe is unrealistic, and 523-1450. They have found a naked, bloody man wandering a California street, and it's ID'd as a schizophrenic teen on meth. So that's an interesting headline. And 40 that you remember this company Ashley Madison that has got the this cheater website. Well, they say 40,000 of the women on Ashley Madison use just 6 email addresses between them, all owned by the company. So there is some other kind of cheating going on with Ashley Madison. But a very, very weird outcome of that company when they hacked into it and released the information. And some people actually committed suicide over that. Now, Ralph Lauren, and you know what this guy's real name is? His last name isn't Lauren. He was the guy that came up with Polo, and he's worth like $7 billion. He's stepping down as the CEO of the company. His real last name's not Lauren. It's Lipschitz, believe it or not. And they said, well, are you embarrassed of your you know, heritage, your Jewish heritage? And he said, not at all. But he said, I'm not going to try to run a fashion company with that as my last name. So point well made. All right, let's take a little break here. And 626, Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, 523-1450. I do have the text line. It's in my car. I got to go. My Jeep, I got to go get it. 1450 KOBE, 523-1450, and we'll be right back. Well, I think we're reading that ad right there. But anyway, so what did you make of this super moon? I haven't had a long chance. I've had a lot of guests on, but I haven't had a long chance to talk to you about it. I thought it was an amazing thing to see. Can you imagine being part of the human history where there wasn't a lot of light outside and there wasn't a lot of pollution? You would be looking at the sky. The sky would lit up like Broadway, and these amazing constellations and what we would call the Big Dipper, the Little Dipper, all these different things. They would have had different names for them, but it would have been, you know, the ancients, some ancient people believed the stars were living beings. I think Plato believed that, but the blood moon, the super moon blood moon was absolutely stunning. It was big. It was went into eclipse, you know, as the I think the Chinese believe that it was a dragon eating the moon, but it you know, started like a cookie. A cookie was cut out of it, and then it's dark, but it's not black. It's turning red, supposedly because of the Earth's atmosphere, the light traveling through it, whatever. But it was pretty spectacular, and it went on for a long time. And I wonder what the ancient world would have made of it, if they would have been terrified or fascinated, if it would have been a religious thing. So I had already mentioned to you when I was talking to, and I had Walt Rubel on, it says in Joel 2:30-31, and I will show you wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. So there was a repeat of this in the, I think in the book of Acts. And then there's another statement about blood moon, the blood moon in the book of Revelations, but it's kind of fascinating. Now there's a significance with these blood moons that are timing themselves at the, to correlate with the Jewish festival. So you got to admit it's a pretty big coincidence, at least. Some people believe it's the end of the world. Other people don't, you know. And, you know, you've got John Hagee, who's written, I think, a book called The Four Blood Moons. Mormon Church issued a call for calm as blood moon sparks apocalypse fears. And so anyway, and I told you previously that the Mormons were a large percent, or maybe a small percent, large amount of food was being sold as survival food, because the Mormon Church has been looking at their scriptures and the Bible, and also some other places in history or whatever, and coming up with the idea that this is the apocalypse. And we do have a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning. This is Ted.
Good morning, Ted. What's up?
I just wanted to ask you, do you sleep a lot better knowing that your spaceport, that you spent $10,000 a day protecting your spaceport from fire?
I slept pretty good, but it, I don't know. I mean, I hope it didn't have anything to do with the spaceport.
It's been a while since we've talked about the spaceport, but now they want to spend another $3 million a year, which is almost $10,000 a day for security and fire. I'd just like to ask the question, who built the spaceport out of materials that would catch fire? And second of all, that sounds kind of high.
It does sound high. I don't know. I mean, that's a great question. They should have made the whole thing out of concrete, I guess.
It probably is. I think Christine Henderson just wants a lot more people driving up that road so that they can make a better case for paving it. The question that I want to ask is, these high rollers need a paved road. Well, how many people really believe that somebody that could pay $2,000 for an hour space ride is going to hump their bags onto a church bus in El Paso and drive to TRC?
Well, there are some worshipers of science out there.
I think they're going to be coming in on private jets, probably out of L.A. or Vegas.
Probably. That spaceport really hasn't done a whole heck of a lot for New Mexico.
It sure hasn't. Well, it made some Albuquerque contractors rich, I imagine. So.
Well, what do you propose we do with this boondoggle?
Well, when the horse tracks were really sinking, they put a bunch of slot machines in and call it a racino. They ought to put a bunch of gambling up there and call it a spacino.
Maybe they can put up one of those things like they got in Vegas, where you go to the top of the needle and then you have this little thing that they shoot you up in the air and you're so high up that you get,
There you go. The last thing that we need to do is build a 5-star hotel up there so that these people can wait out the windy weather and whatnot. How many times did you ever heard about a space shot that didn't have a delay?
Yeah.
Either hours or days. So this whole thing.
In this case, years.
Years. Portland. It's a big white elephant, and I think we just ought to cut our losses.
Well, and I think people, it's the same thing when somebody gets conned. You meet a con artist. A lot of these people are very charming and ingratiating, and they need a loan or whatever. They want an investment, and the first amount is given without any trepidation, and then there's a need for more money. And at some point, psychologically, the person needs to come to grips with the fact that they've been conned, but that's against human nature. Number one, people don't want to admit that they're stupid. Number two, they don't want to see the lost money come back. They want to continue with the fantasy so that they get their money back.
The technical term for that in economics is sunk cost fallacy.
Yes.
And yeah. Okay, well, anyway, we're coming up this spring with some more rounds of funding as we make the budget in the legislature. I know that there's some budget hawks out there that have their eye on the spaceport, and I just think that we ought to cut our losses.
And then you have the Bill Gay Evangelist McCamleys that want to just pour all of our money in there. It would better to develop an actual economy here in which small businesses could kind of slowly or quickly fill up all the empty commercial real estate that we have out there and create a real economy of our own instead of waiting for another, Disneyland to sprout up like a mushroom.
Exactly. And there were only 700 people that signed up for it. And even Richard Branson says that there's not much of a follow on. I mean, all those could quickly evaporate if the word gets out that it's not all that fun.
Excuse me, the last trip up there wasn't too fun since somebody got blowed up. issue?
Well, take a look at the space shuttle. One catastrophic catastrophic accident for every 50 flights.
Well, I guess it could be worse. I mean, you could be living in the Middle Ages of battling the Black Plague.
Well, I guess so. But think of the lawsuits. After that first crash, think of all the lawsuits.
Yeah. All right. So.
That's what I wanted to say. Have a good day, Kelly.
Thanks for making us feel better, Ted.
All right. Bye.
Have a good night. All right. Yeah. I mean, okay, so there's the experience of being conned, a con artist, right? Somebody comes into your life, they've got a, you know, get-rich-quick scheme, or they need a loan, whatever. I'm telling you, some of these con artists are some of the most ingratiating and charming people that you'd ever meet. They get your money, and then they come back for a little bit more. And the question is, you know, were you burned? People don't want to admit they're stupid or that they fell for something. I think this spaceport is a classic case of that. When is it going to be used? I mean, how old is it? You know, it's 10 years old. If you have a 10-year-old that can't talk or get out of bed, you're in trouble. All right. So anyway, 642 Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523 1450. I've got texts from a couple of days, and they're starting to build up like a cumulonimbus cloud. I'm going to have to read some of them. We'll be back, and we're going to talk about some more of this stuff. I got a sad story about what happened to those Boy Scout campers when the floods hit.
All in you, send me. I know you, send me. Darling, you.
It's 6:47, and you just heard Ted called up and made everybody feel better about wasting all our money on the spaceport. A boondoggle. A real economy is not a one-shot proposition, my friends. It's a bunch of small undertakings from heroic men and women who decide to risk the family fortune and a heck of a lot of time and their reputation and try to open up something. You know, we're missing businesses in this town. The number of empty buildings is absolutely stunning. I've never seen anything like it, at least since World War II. And I didn't actually see World War II, but Mayor Ken is so proud of himself. I hear he may be going back to sumo wrestling. Just a rumor, of course. He misses the belly bumping, but especially the warm sake. But seriously, I've got mayoral Friday. I've got judicial Wednesday, and I got a dear friend of mine. He's going to be coming on at 7. Kieran Ryan, and probably the person whose opinion I respect the most in this town. One of the first people I would ever call if I needed some serious advice. They'll be coming on at 7. But so I've got a little bit of New Mexico news. These teens that were in this deadly scouting group that you probably heard about, deadly floodwaters that tore through a Boy Scout troop's New Mexico campsite as they slept, turned their tents into wet cages that clung to their bodies like saran wrap. And this is from the new police report and taped interviews. A group of 8 California boys and chaperones fought desperately to get out of these tent tombs. Some of them used their teeth to rip holes open in the tents. And one of the adults said that you could hear people yelling. You couldn't understand what they were saying. The water ended up sweeping 4 scouts down a canyon, and Alden Brock of Sacramento died. So, you know, flash flood or flooding, and then you've got this disaster coming down. Floodwaters came down through the North Ponal Canyon around 4:30 a.m. in the morning. So everybody was zonked out, and the group was camping about 20 feet upslope from a small creek. The water overran their campsite. It kind of reminds me of what happened to those those Mormon polygamists. They call them poligs down there. I almost called them poligs, but I think anybody will be offended by that around here. But up in St. George, you see these women out with their kids quite a bit. But you know, the water rise when the you have a flood, and that's why we need flood control here. We need to be very careful with our flood. You know, that's why we have the flooding stuff that doesn't seem to be to mean anything off of Loma and across from Marshall's and Ross. The bowl there where there's the overlook over the city, but you got to have stuff like that because by the time you need it, it's too late to build it. So some of this desert flooding is just surreal. But those kids got, you know, this flooding up in Colorado City. I mean, I watched a video and you could see these vans going into the water and they were like 10 feet back. And all of a sudden, as the water's rising, the ground is collapsing because it's mostly sand up there. And these vehicles got swept up, and you know how all those 12 people or however many the polygamists, one family, got caught up in that. They went down to the river to watch this and parked, and the water rose so fast they didn't even have time to turn on the car. They were too scared, whatever. But so anyway, and especially these days when it seems like the weather's changing a little bit, where you've got of the biggest King Kong El Nino out there. We could be getting a lot of rain through the winter, they tell us. All right. New Mexico panel denies federal wolf permit. It was a showdown over the Mexican gray wolf between the federal government and state wildlife officials. The wildlife officials decided they took a vote and said, we don't want a lot more wolves around here. But the federal government lost the vote. The state, New Mexico state, said that we don't want these critters in here, and the federal government says we don't care because we represent something larger. It's called Obama's attempt to take over the whole country in the last year and a half. So, folks, we've got to reassert federalism, local control. That's the way to the future. Running a giant bureaucracy out of Washington and hoping to get representation, that's never going to happen. All right, Sunland Park official arrested during meeting. Holy cow, I usually play the Dallas theme here. But the Dona Ana County Sheriff's deputies arrested a Sunland Park City Councilor on misdemeanor drug charges during a special council meeting. I wonder if he stepped out to take a hit off the Chinaman's pipe to maybe get a little meth or something. Sergio R. Carrillo, charged with possession of less than an ounce of marijuana and possession of drug paraphernalia. Wow, I mean, that's spectacular. He was arrested, quote here, he was arrested at an executive session meeting of the council. Sunland Park Mayor Javier the Javelina Perea says, at this point, it's a personal matter. Really? Okay. All right, so anyway, we'll take a little break here and come back and cover some more exciting news, and then we've got Kieran Ryan coming in. It's going to be a good talk. He's a very well-read guy. 653 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523 1450, 805 6180. I'm going to hit your text when we come back. Well, it's 6:56. I've got your texts here, which have stacked up like cordwood over the last couple of days. Ted is right. It's way past time to dump the space station. But what do we do with it? Same person. And speaking of blood moons, not only has Russia taken over Syria, but China now is their aircraft carrier and a gilded missile cruiser. That must be beautiful. I think they meant a guided missile. but I'd rather see a gilded missile. Boehner, here's another one. Boehner was a loser, a crybaby, a drunk, and a sellout. I can't believe Walt waxes on about Boehner's great qualities. Maybe being a crybaby is a great quality. Tell us how you really feel. This is going back a day or two. Kelly, it would be great to hear the candidates' opinions on property rights on these candidates' show you have planned. Mary C. All right, here is a three-part text. Kara is in District 1 and has free time. I am in District 1 and have free time from my time-killing job to help out. I will contact Steve. Kelly, you know I got a big mouth. What you don't know is I'm in the historic district with goals of business for too damn long. Las Cruces is pathetic and short-sighted compared to just about every place, every other place in NM markets, history, culture, from the Stone Age to the Space Age, and of course, Manana. Turned radio on late. Who are you interviewing and what's his background? Please, really? I like what we're hearing. All right, we're running short on time here, but here's a long text. It would be really helpful to talk about examples of regulation in local business so that those of us who do not have businesses can understand it better and defend the argument against excess regulation. The same one goes for presidential candidates. We need examples of exactly how the everyday person is affected by federal government decisions, regulations, global warming decisions, et cetera, et cetera. This is especially helpful to the voters who are not always informed. What do you say, Kel A? I say you need to not try to be a poet as your permanent occupation. Here's a little break on the hour. We're going to come back and talk to Kieran Ryan, 6:59, Kelly O'Connell Show.
At first I thought it was infatuation, but ooh, it lasted so long. Now I find myself mourning to marry you and take you home. Oh, you send me, I know you send me, I know you send me, honest you do. At first I thought it was infatuation, but it lasted so long. Now I find myself wanting to marry you and take you home. I love.
Sometimes at last doesn't happen at first.
My love has come along. My lonely days are over.
All right, so good morning, 7:06. And I've got Kieran Ryan on here. Kieran Ryan is a judge right now. He was an attorney when I became friends with him. He was both occasionally sitting on the bench, and also had a private practice, but became pretty good friends with him. And I realized that he's running for re-election, or really a new position within the same court. So I figured to ask him if he'd want to come on, and he did. Good morning, Kieran. You're welcome. And so anyway, Kieran, just to let people know, where are you located in the court system?
Right now, I was elected to the Municipal 2 position, which is a municipal judge in November of 2013. And
you've been on the bench a long time.
Yeah, I've been on the bench in municipal court for 17 and a half years. I started out back in 1998 when Judge Trevise was the presiding judge, and he by recommendation to the city council, appointed me as an alternate.
Later he had a road named after him.
Yeah. Well, he's been here, you know, his family has been here in Lockhurst for many years. And so as a full-time attorney in my office down there at Main and Picacho, the building's not there anymore, but I'd been there for 20 years and I was a private attorney, but, I would step in when the judges were gone or somebody got sick or they had to go to seminars or whatever it is. So I would come in and help out, and I'd been doing that for 14 years. And then, Judge Locatelli's spot came open when he resigned, and the city council had to go through a vetting system. They vetted 12 attorneys, and they overwhelmingly decided for me to be the attorney to take over his spot and fulfill his term, which was 2 years. After that two-year term was over, I ran for election in November of 2013, as I indicated, and the voters sent me to the to the judgeship for 4 years, and I'm currently in that position, which has 2 years left on it. Now, Judge Miller Burns, who's the presiding judge, has retired as of October 31st, and so that there's a vacuum there for the presiding judge of municipal court. Now, the presiding judge is a little different than my judge position in just one or two ways. It's an additional job as administrator of the court, dealing with the budget, dealing with the staff, dealing with various issues regarding the city and the city council. Other than that, it's essentially the same job. And so I'm running for that 4-year position as presiding judge. And I run on that position, for that position, because of my experience in municipal court as a sitting judge for 17 and a half years. And to further the stability of the municipal court, the way it's been, and continue to serve the public in that role.
And how would you add to the stability of the court or help that?
Well, you know, there's very, very few changes that I would make. As I think Judge Miller Burns did a fantastic job for the last 16 years and keeping the court on the right road. I would probably increase the indigent funds to attorneys who represent the low-income and no-income people of our community as defendants. Currently, if someone is charged with a petty misdemeanor and they have a potential of going to jail, they would, as you know, get a lawyer. If they cannot afford a lawyer, if they go through the process that we go through and determine whether or not they can afford a lawyer, if they cannot afford a lawyer, we would appoint a lawyer, and we have a panel of defense attorneys who are on this panel, and they get paid per case. But that fee that they get per case has not changed since 1992. And so it's really not keeping up with the times. And so in my view, you know, if you pay these attorneys a little more, you know, they're going to do a little better job. They'll, you know, be a bit more conscientious about their representation, you know. So I think, you know, you pay people, good people, you pay them to stay, you know, and I think that's a basic tenet of anybody who's ever had a business. You know, you want to pay good people, you know, and then they stay, they don't go anywhere. So we want to do that. And that's one of the things I'd like to take a look at. Another thing is I've noticed that the building that we're in right now was built during the Woodrow Wilson administration. Okay, it was dedicated in 1917. So I think I would like to work with City Council to perhaps take a look at, you know, some other facilities or a newer facility. I know the city spends an incredible amount of money every year just maintaining that building, keeping the HVAC going, and every year it seems we have a problem with the air conditioning and the heat and big long lines, and nobody likes to stand in line, especially on Monday morning.
Well, you see the lines snaking outside the building onto the sidewalk, well into the sidewalk. There could be 100 people in line there.
Yeah. You know, it's usually Monday mornings where we get that line. And maybe it's just El Paso Electric has the same line on Monday morning. But, you know, I think it's Monday. People go, you know, let me go down there and take care of this today. It's fine. But I don't want anybody standing outside. I don't want anybody standing. I'd like them all inside, sitting down in air conditioning or in heat, you know. So that's something I'd like to work on. And in a very serious manner with City Council. And I've already discussed this with City Council members. And so that's something I think needs to be taken a real hard look at.
And the downtown or the downstairs court room is pretty packed.
Yeah.
Pretty tight in there.
Yeah, it gets my courtroom. We have, it's like 144 seating capacity. Sometimes we get 150 people, 160 people in there. And they're standing up, and I'm doing arraignments, and I'm going as, and we have fans in there, but you know, it can be pretty hot, you know.
Yeah, no doubt.
Pretty hot in there.
No doubt. Yeah.
So it's not really the small courtroom wasn't really designed for a court. It was designed for number one, a post office. Okay, and so. Getting prisoners in there from the jail, there's also safety issues that we have to, address. Maybe go back to video arraignments, which would be something would be good to do. That way there wouldn't be any transportation difficulties, no security difficulties, so forth.
Fantastic. Well, we're talking to Kieran Ryan. He's a sitting judge, and he was going to run for the seat that's empty with Judge Miller Burns leaving. And she has spent almost two decades on that court and ruling from the upstairs court and an elevated seat, actually. That seat's pretty high up there.
Yeah, it looks like it was just built that way. Well, that was Judge Martin's, not the current Judge Martin, but Judge the current Judge Martin's, Judge James Martin. Rest in peace. He was a fantastic judge, and that was his courtroom.
Yeah.
When the third judicial district was in there, and it was built to be elevated, and it's a beautiful courtroom. It's a big courtroom.
Got a lot of wood in there.
It got a lot of wood. It accommodates a lot of people, which is good. Mm. And then you don't really have too many space issues in that courtroom. But it has huge windows. You know, they got those windows that they built back in 1917 and go to the floor of the ceiling. Back in the day when attorneys would sit there and smoke cigars during trial.
And spit out of the window.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, we're with Kieran Ryan. He's running for the chief judge spot at municipal court. He's got an opponent. I don't remember ever seeing your opponent in municipal court, but maybe I didn't, there's something I don't know. Anyway, 7:15, we're going to come back. I'm going to ask the judge what the most serious issues there. He's kind of touched on some of them, but, what he hears people complaining about and some of the answers, which he's touched on already. 7:15, you're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450 to call in, and 805-6180 to text. And we're going to be right back.
Dancing to the music played by the DJ on the radio. The Cokes are in the ice box. Pop on.
Jimmy Moore. That was another thing.
It is 7:19. Yeah, 7:20 on the button here. Got Judge Kieran Ryan. And Judge, I want to ask you a couple of things. Number one, what the thing that people complain most about municipal court? What have you heard? I know you want to get a new building because there's a lot of suffering with people standing in the cold or the heat, waiting outside long lines and stuff. And the courtrooms are not modern at all.
I think the largest complaint by the citizenry would probably be the cramped accommodations in one of the courtrooms. And in the summertime, it does get pretty hot. People just want to come in. They want to get their case heard in and out. You know, I mean, I can't blame them. They're there. They got to go to work. You know, they got to take off time to go to work to deal with this speeding ticket or, you know, deal with whatever infraction that they have to take care of, you know. And so I'm very sensitive to that because, well, you know, I'm working stiff too. And so people want to come in, they want to take care of the business, you know, and they want to be treated with respect. And they, you know, and everybody should be treated with respect. Every case is different. Every individual is different. And there's no two cases alike. Whether it's two different parking tickets, neither one of them is the same. And so people just want to get in there, get their case heard, and, you know, and be done with it, you know, one way or the other. Now, the vast majority of them come in and plead guilty to whatever the infraction is. And, so we get them on their way, you know, right away. Depends on the circumstances. But I like to run a courtroom that's quick and efficient. And, you know, that people can don't take up a big part of their day, you know, and because a lot of this stuff, it shouldn't take up a big part of their day. And I'm sensitive to that.
Well, and you're speaking about being a working stiff. Why don't you tell people about your history a little bit? I know there's listeners to the show who are military and you've had that experience.
Yeah, I was in the Navy. I was in the Navy. Well, I joined the Navy at a time when you could join the Navy when you were 17. And so I joined the Navy when I was 17, and it was called a kiddie cruise. I got out on a kiddie cruise, meaning on my 21st birthday, I got out. This was a program the Navy had, but it was the most wonderful experience of my life, you know, because at 17, I it was great because I saw half the world by the time I was 19 and got paid for it. And to me, it was a pretty good deal, even though I didn't get paid much. I think my first paycheck was $38 every week.
Free room and board.
Free room and board, you know, and it was a real maturing experience. And I'm talking about I joined the Navy in 1969. And at that time, it was still part of the old salty kind of Navy, you learn work ethic I learned the work ethic then. You know, I say working stiff. You know, there's no such thing as being late in the military. You know what I'm saying? And if there is, you got a problem. You know, so. But anyway, yeah. So I was in the Navy, and then I got out of the Navy and went to University of Kansas in Lawrence, Kansas. I lived there for 4 years and got a degree and a bachelor's degree. After that, I was in the printing business. My brothers, we opened a small print shop, small town, and did that for a while.
Like Ben Franklin.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I got ink in my blood. And you learn how to deal with the community, from a printer's perspective, and it was interesting. We had some of the old time presses where you make these by hand. You would do the wedding invitations, you know, It was really interesting. After that, you
enjoyed that?
I did. I really enjoyed that. My brothers enjoyed it as well. After that, I went to law school at John Marshall Law School in Chicago, because I'm from Illinois. And that was a very interesting experience. Graduated from law school and then eventually made my way to Las Cruces in 1994, because I was assistant district attorney prior to that in 1992 in Albuquerque and in Socorro. And Truth of Consequences, essentially. I lived in Truth of Consequences for a year and a half. So I went from Chicago to Truth of Consequences, and it was kind of a cultural shock, but it was all right. It was okay. It was interesting because what I liked about being assistant district attorney in a small town is you do everything from parking tickets to murders.
You got a ton of experience.
Everything. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So, and then I came down here and opened my law practice at Main and Picacho, and I'd been there since 2012. Love living in Las Cruces.
You have a child.
I do. Well, I've got three kids. Two I inherited, and one's between myself and my wife. And
your wife's Hispanic.
She is. Yep. Uh-huh.
And so I know that.
Absolutely.
Every time I'm around you, you give me a little tidbit of culture from the area.
Yeah. I'm kind of a history buff. I kind of like reading a lot about history. So I kind of like to dig into historical things and. My wife and I, we try to speak Spanish and English at home, only because I think, learning another language is good for everybody in Europe. Everybody knows two languages. Everybody knows English, pretty much, or more, correct. So it can't hurt to know a couple languages,
Well, especially to be in this part of the country, to know something about Mexican culture and Hispanic ways of doing things.
Sure.
And I went to what's the name of the celebration when the girl turned 16?
Quinceañera.
I went to one of those last week and it was incredible. I mean, they had a full mariachi band. I mean, with 12 people, 11 people, the violin and the guitarón, the big, and then the smaller guitars, the singers, and It was an unbelievable, except for the mosquitoes, it was an unbelievable experience.
Yeah, musically, Mexico has an interesting history. Quinceañera, first one I went to, I was just kind of flabbergasted. Many years ago, they had the mariachi, but they also had a waltz. And they were doing the waltz. And I was hearing the Danube, and they were coming out in their fine regalia and dresses.
Yeah.
And the boys were all in tuxedos and they were all dancing around very daintily as they would in 1850 in France. And I just thought, and then they mixed the mariachi with it.
So. Well, it shows the European influence on Mexico.
Well, yeah. And it has a, of course, French, Maximilian was emperor. Mexico for a while, but then they played the organ music with the mariachi, and so the organ music, that kind of comes from the German influence that you have.
And the tubas, the disgusting tubas that are found in the only objectionable part of them.
Oompa tubas.
I never could figure out how the Mexicans got the tubas, and then they said it was a German influence. I'm like, wow.
Well, I can hear it with my ear because living in Chicago, I used to go to all the polka dances. And we have polka up there, and you can hear kind of the same kind of notes. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
It really is fascinating.
So this is a little bit of a melting pot or city.
It is. And Mexico is also a melting pot, and they bring that melting pot up here, and it's more of a melting pot, It's really kind of
fantastic.
Cool.
Talking to Kieran Ryan, and you hunt a little bit. Can I ask you just a little bit of your hunting experience?
I don't hunt big game anymore, but I do hunt bird hunt. I like to go out and hunt quail.
Be out in nature.
And I only eat because I like to eat quail.
Yeah.
And, I like to cook sure. up. So, I don't hunt doves anymore. Pretty much what I'm doing nowadays is just quail when season comes in. I think it's the middle of November.
I might hit.
Plus, that's nice exercise. You get out there, even if you don't do anything.
I might hit you up for a trip.
Let's do it.
folks, talking to Kieran Ryan, and he's running for the chief judge spot at the municipal court. And interesting, always an interesting guy to talk to, especially if you're not in front of him on a case. 7:30 on the button, and you're listening to AM Massachusetts on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. I mean, if you're not being prosecuted in his court, it's easier to have a conversation with him. But we'll be right back.
Me and my baby, we're out here on the floor. So, Mr. DJ, keep those records playing, 'cause I'm having such a good time dancing with my baby.
Well, folks, I got Kieran Ryan here, but he's got to get off to the bench. So thanks for coming on, Judge. I appreciate you listening to my invitation. I know you're super busy, but I want to get as many candidates as I can on the program.
Kelly, thanks for having me. Appreciate you taking the time to have me on, and look forward to seeing everybody at the voting booth.
Yeah, but we'll have a Judicial Wednesdays.
Okay, sounds so great.
I'm trying to get your opponent on as well. We can't really have a debate, but we could have a discussion.
Sure, absolutely.
Thanks a lot, Judge, and have a great day.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Kieran Ryan, folks, and he's down at Municipal Court. And one more question, Judge. Are people allowed to donate to judicial campaigns?
Yes, you can, but I don't take any donations. I just have chosen to finance my own campaign because, you know, I don't like the inference of impropriety. I just don't, you know, I just don't want to go down that road. I just prefer to keep it, you know, clean like that. And I just finance my own campaign. I don't take any contributions.
That's admirable, Judge. We need more of that out there.
Yeah, it keeps everything above board.
I guess Donald Trump is blazing the way on that one, but he's blazing a trail. But I do appreciate it. And always good to talk to you. And we'll have you back on here. And anyway, my whole goal is to get as many candidates and just expose them to real people on air. We found a little bit out about your background. It's a fascinating background. And anyway, I know you got to get to the bench, so thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Folks, Kieran Ryan, and you'll see his signs, his self-financed signs around town. And I'm trying to remember the name of the guy that's running against him. I'll try to do a little research. I'll have it for you. But anyway, okay, so we have got a situation in the Republican Party. We've got a situation in the Democrat Party. As Heraclitus has said, all is flux. Everything is in flux. We don't know who the candidate's going to be for either side. I think it's kind of exciting. And we got some other issues out there, too. How do you feel about abortion? 523-1450. Let me read the last couple of texts that I've had, 805-6180. Let's hope Hillary didn't email Chelsea, the transgender one, or NSA will be all over her. That's about. But anyway. Why are the deputies so underpaid? Kathy is asking that. 805-6180. So we have got, and I don't know who you guys are counting on. I've been talking a lot about Trump because he's been in the news, and I've been thrilled by him going after political correctness. And there's, as you see, every single week, there's some new issue that comes up that we are informed he's gone too far. Folks, we have got to get away from this garbage politics, a garbage. It's a garbage society that brings in political correctness. It's the bottom feeders who are calling the shots. We've got to get away from this idea that somebody says one wrong thing and they're driven out of public life. I mean, there's, you know, sometimes the people that are most needed are individuals that have maybe a little edge to them. You know, You've got to. I'm not defending the Donald. He may or may not make it. And I've said before, I don't know if I would even vote for him, but it was a kind of a situation where we needed someone to come in. The iconoclasm keeps coming back to my mind when there was the fight over in the church, the icons and the people who wanted to get rid of the icons and stop praying to saints. And this is not meant to be controversial or disrespect the Catholic approach to religion, but there's something to be said about going directly to the source, you know? So smashing these idols of political correctness is what I have in mind. I think political correctness only degrades the society because a group of outsiders decides what everybody has to believe. And it's, you don't, folks don't, you know, I know the Cathys and the Frankies don't want to hear that on religion, but we really shouldn't hear it on anything. There shouldn't be a group in society that's beyond criticism. There shouldn't be decisions made by the government in courtrooms or at the highest levels in which, you know, this is a country that was built out of a debate over what's the best kind of a nation to have. We continued that debate even through the Civil War. We decided it on the battlefield, but you know, it's a debate that's worth keeping on. The ancient philosophers called it, what is the good life? We need to be focused on the good life. The ancient prophets said, here's the rules, you know, break them at your peril. But we have to have a debate in the society, including political correctness. We need to get rid of political correctness because it's poisonous. Here's a little bit on from Mark Levin on Donald Trump's tax plan. It's come out recently. It's pretty interesting. I think you'll find it notable.
Tax plan? This is a hell of a plan. Are there certain things I disagree with? Yes. But let me tell you the strong things in this. And he's very specific for those who want specifics. From 7 tax brackets to 4. And the top rate is 25%. The top rate now is 39.6%. For some people, it actually winds up being 43% thanks to the deal the Republicans made with Obama a few years ago. So the Republican establishment types, the Bushies, the Paul Ryan guys, they really have no complaint here because while they voted to increase the top level to 39.6 and in some cases 43%, 25% would be the top rate under the Trump plan. And I would remind you, I think it was 27% under Reagan. Do I prefer the flat tax? Yes. Do I prefer the fair tax? Yes. For reasons I'll explain in a second. But this is a good plan. Trump cuts the business tax rate from 35% and in some cases 39.6%, depending on the business type, 10%. Can you imagine the amount of economic growth that would occur in this country? These corporate taxes are business taxes. These are just throw-on taxes. It's the third tax of a dollar. It's the third tax of a dollar. He cuts capital gain taxes from 24% to 20%. 24% to 20%. No death tax. So anybody spends their life acquiring assets, having already paid taxes on them many times to local, state, and the feds, you don't have to liquidate after your death, your family doesn't, in order to pass on the family farm or homes or whatever it is. That's it. You've already paid your taxes. The person dies, celebrate their life, rest in peace, and stop stealing from them. I think that's terrific. No death tax. No marriage penalty. No marriage penalty. And a lot of people who know more than I do about taxes think this is a pretty damn good plan. Now, there's $2.5 trillion or so that's parked overseas by American companies. You want to know why? They've already paid taxes on them in foreign countries, whatever the tax rates are in those particular countries. If they bring it back, our government taxed it again as if they were never taxed in foreign countries. We're the only major developed industrial nation that does that to our own businesses. That is, that does it to you. Well, Mark, I don't invest overseas. No. But you may have a pension plan that invests in these companies. You may have mutual funds. You may know people who work for them. But why punish American businesses on the world scene? If no other major country does this, why do we do it? And you bring this back, $2.5 trillion into this economy. Once again, can you imagine the economic growth?
I think those are fair points. And there's an area of government that has grown a lot, and it's really kind of in the area of social welfare where we're trying to invest in the poor. We're trying to build up the economy through entitlements or through welfare or whatever. It doesn't work. It doesn't work, and I don't mean that in a rude way, because one person is born, the parent is wealthy. Another person is born, the parents are poor. That seems unfair. We're Americans. We want fairness. We want to kind of equal things out. But I mean, not every kid who is born of a rich parent dies wealthy or lives a prosperous life. And not every poor kid, is in poverty their whole life. Sometimes these are motivators. So, a person raised in poverty might make up their mind that they're going to go to school and make it. But I think it's better, all things being considered, we accept the fact that life is unfair and that we move into the area of making it easier, that if you're motivated and, you have an idea, you go out and start a business. Well, we should make it easier to keep businesses open. And we do have a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Takashi speaking.
Good morning, Takashi. Hope you're well. What's on your mind?
I was just thinking about the fact that with these tax cuts from Trump, how exciting it is that he finally came up with a formidable idea.
Yeah.
I was thinking of somebody that works for $7.50 or $8.50 an hour getting taxed 40%. I mean, at that rate, that's kind of high,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, why not make it – and why not, instead of incentivizing welfare, making people tempting people to move into welfare or government payments because it's so hard to make it on the bottom. Why not incentivize?
Well, it's like we said about when we were talking about the Pope the other day, you just made a statement. And I would say to that, if you don't feed the dog, one of these days the dogs are going to eat you. They say the middle class is supposedly the buffer zone for the 1%.
Yeah.
And what's happening right now is that this so-called buffer zone that they have created, that's not even working anymore.
Well,
the middle class technically doesn't exist.
I agree with you. For whatever reason, the middle class is shrinking and they're having a hard time to make it. And even Aristotle said to have a free country, you've got to have a middle class. I agree with you. Let's make it easier to open businesses in this town. Let's make it, local. To talk locally, let's make it easier to open a business through the regulations and the taxes and everything, and let's make it easier to keep it open. Let's have American dreams blossoming all around us in this town.
What I've noticed, Kelly, I've noticed a lot of businesses open, even myself, new startups, and they don't seem to sustain the town. I mean, I don't know if there's not enough liquidity or what it is, but small business in general has a tough time.
Well, most small businesses fail statistically, but there's a lot of successful businessmen and women who've been through 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 businesses before they find the perfect formula. And sometimes it is luck. Sometimes it's the time in history that one business could make it better than another. But this guy who started Amazon just made $16 billion last year. That's exciting because you can still. But hold on
right,
a second. Hold on
right
a second.
Time
My point
deal,
is, though,
know?
That the guy that owns the Falcons, he said that you could no longer open a Home Depot type of a company and make it because of the regulations in America. It's a terrible thing if the only thing that's growing is regulations.
Yeah, because it's like Trump said about China and the devaluation of their currency to bring all the cheap the company to run over there for the cheap labor they could provide, you know? So if there's going to be a country that's going to offer 6 cents on a dollar for labor and all the companies get up and run over there, I mean, it's really hard to compete
with
that.
You can't blame them. Thanks for the call, Takashi. Got to run. All right, folks, we will come back and finish up this talk, but why not grow our own? Why not build an economy here? We can do it. And you should think about the people that are running for office. Pick a pro-growth person. People who get up there and wring their hands and say, we've got to have higher minimum wage. Let's look at the bigger picture, okay? You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. I'm Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, 805-6180, 805-6180 to text.
Everybody's swinging. Sally's doing that twist now. If you take requests, I've got a few for you.
It's 7:52. I've got three stories to mention. One I'm going to put to bed for tomorrow. There's a huge outcry over the funding for Planned Parenthood. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Now, a couple of quick stories to squeeze in here. There is a claim that Obama is totally baffled by the situation in Syria. You remember he drew a red line in the sand and then he didn't back it up. Now the red line represents Russia. Russia's in Syria. They're fighting ISIS. And Krethammer is saying this isn't about Russians taking on ISIS. This is about Russians taking over Syria. You see, when you have a demagogue, a person who doesn't have any experience, this person will have the worst instincts often because their ideas, their beliefs lead them astray. And time and again, this president, whether you care for him, his smile and his personality or not, has done injurious things to America. And, future historians, if there's one honest one, will write a devastating story about what's happened in America and the unfortunate mixture of race politicking and liberal incompetence that has just brought us almost to our knees. Now, I've got that story and I've got a little bit on as well. I'll squeeze in a little bit on this. Teamsters, believe it or not, they're thinking about backing Trump. These are incredible days, but check this out on Syria.
Nearly 70 ISIS followers have been arrested in the last year in the United States of America. I think that's a wake-up call to action. The findings indicate that the threat is getting worse, not better, we are losing in this struggle to keep Americans from the battlefield, because many are still going to the region and coming back. And I think most importantly that we lack a national strategy to deal with this problem.
Bipartisan task force with a new report on foreign fighters calling the flow of foreign fighters into Syria and Iraq, quote, the largest global convergence of jihadists in history. Finds that some 7,000 have been added in just the past few months alone, most from the Middle East and North Africa, but thousands from Europe, and some 250 Americans who have come back to the U.S. in some way, shape, or form. Let's bring in our panel. Yoki Driesen, Managing Editor of Foreign Policy. Mara Liasson, National Political Correspondent.
Don't have time for this whole clip, but I just want you to know there's the danger of Russia, just like they took over another part of Europe. They're going to be taking over Syria. I can't imagine this president standing up to him. Shifting gears here, let's hear a little bit about Trump and the Teamsters.
Tonight, this evening, breaking news on what could prove to be a major setback to Hillary Clinton's campaign and possibly to the entire Democratic Party. Chief Washington correspondent James Rosen is here tonight with the story. Good evening, James.
Brett, good evening. When the General Executive Board of the Teamsters Union meets, as it did today in Charleston, South Carolina, it does so behind closed doors. Tonight, however, Fox News has learned exclusively that the 26-member board decided unanimously to withhold a presidential endorsement at this time. Union sources said the move was driven by three motivations. First, as an intentional snub to Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton, who last week opposed construction of the Keystone Pipeline. Second, the Teamsters want to know if Vice President Biden will jump into the race. And then union executives told me they want to sit down with Republican candidates, most notably frontrunner Donald Trump, who has collaborated with unionized workforces across his real estate career.
It's a very significant development, not least because the Teamsters is such a big, powerful, and wealthy union. You're talking about well over a million unionized workers, a lot of them in key states. It's one more piece of evidence that Hillary Clinton's efforts to essentially lock down the nomination have utterly failed.
All right, folks. That's big news because the Teamsters, can you imagine? I mean, the Teamsters always seem to be voting Democrat, and the fact that they're not shows this iconoclasm of Trump, this shaking of the towers, this bringing down to their knees these politically correct ideas. It's a good thing. Will he be a good president if he gets elected? I have no idea. You know, he seems to be getting more serious as the days go by. And he has to. You know, you can't go around insulting everybody all the time. All right, here is some more texts. I have been in court in El Paso for tickets, and it is in the shopping strip, and the courtroom uses folding tables and chairs, but they have people moving in and out very quickly. I got a lot more people down there. Abortion is murder is murder. Okay, here's another one. Okay. Guided, sorry, but it's early. I don't know what that means. Let's see here. People move in and out of certain tax brackets all their lives. To give higher tax bracket people tax breaks when they reach that higher income level seems on the surface unfair, but the more chinks in the higher tax bracket armor, the more constrained they become to be inject more money into the economy. Does that make sense? There's a lot of things out there that are contra instinctive, and one of which is the less taxes you bring, the lower your tax rate, the more taxes you'll bring in because you'll grow the economy. That's the claim. It was proven during the time of Reagan. And so we've turned our back on Reagan. We've said we're going to grow this economy, this country, to be a more just place, and we're going to be more prosperous. Neither one has worked out to be true. Let's return to our Reagan roots and build this economy again. Let's have Reagan roots in this town. Less stupid regulations and idiot people that these things have to go through, and more incentive to grow the American dream. There's so many smart people and ambitious people in the town. Let's encourage them. Kelly O'Connell, thanks for listening in. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. And I hope you have a great day. Meet you back in 22 hours. Ciao.
Play that song called Soul Twist. Play that one called I Know. Play those. No other songs will do.